All right. I am giddy. I really am. I'm giddy about this. I am anxious. I'm genuinely anxious about this. I am excited. I'm genuinely excited about this. I am scared. I am genuinely scared about this. I told Cameron this morning, I said, this series is going to do one of two things, okay? Either I'm going to run half of our congregation off, or we're going to double in size in the next couple of months, okay? What I have to say is not typical, but it is biblical. What I have to say is not mine, but it is God's and His Holy Spirit's. What I have to say is not by my strength, and it is not just for you, but for me, okay? Today, we're going to do the introduction. I'm going to tell you biblically why this is healthy, why we're doing what we're doing, and why you should be as or more excited about this than I am, all right? And to do that, we're going to start on page one. Okay? We're going to go back to the beginning, probably my favorite chapters in the Bible. We're going to be in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. All right? So if you want to get it out and look at it, that is all well and good. This is the introduction to a series called Unveiled. We are going to pull back the curtains. We are going to roll back the facades. We are going to strip off the masks. I toyed with the idea of putting Get Naked on our sign out front. But I didn't know how well that would go over without the introduction. Maybe next week, okay? That's what, after today's sermon, that's what all of you can do. What's going on at your church? We're all getting naked. Come and see. Wait, putting those two together is a little odd, isn't it? But that's what we're talking about today. And I'm not doing this to get attention. As we read, you're going to go, oh! I know exactly what's going on here, all right? Joel Engel wrote a song, and I've quoted it before. Strip away all that remains for your glory and your gain till there's nothing left of me. Burn the kingdoms I have made that you would shine and I would fade till there's nothing left of me. It's time to get empty, to get real, to get right, and that experience, when done well, is scary, okay? We're going to go through the illusion of having money in this series. Because I don't believe you have money. I believe money has you. We're going to go through the illusion of peace in this series. We're going to go through the illusion of conversion in this series. We're going to go through the illusion of us. Do church people really look like God's people? All right? This is not going to be easy. But we need to do it. And when we do it, the connection that's going to occur between us and our Heavenly Father who loves us and made us is going to be right. All right? So let's get naked, okay? Let me show you what I'm talking about here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God began. He was already, Jesus was already, the Holy Spirit was already, the community of God, three in one, was there in the beginning, and the speaking of God set forth everything into motion, which we find out later is the Word of God springing forth. In John, we find another creation story, the Word of God, by Him all things were made, and apart from Him, nothing that has been made, and the Word became flesh. The Spirit's there, Jesus is there, God's there, and the process of God the Creator spitting everything into existence occurs. And light was made, and it was good. And water and dry ground was made, and it was good. And the land produced vegetation, and it was good. And the lights in the sky were separated, the sun, the moon, the stars, greater and lesser light. And it was good. The water teemed with living creatures, and the birds flew across the earth. Every living thing, and God said that it was good, and the land produced living creatures and livestock, and it was good. And then God said, "Let us make a man." Let us make a man. Hear it, let us make a man. Three in one, creating together. Let us make a man in our image. An image of a communal God. An image of individuals who need one another. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And this is the account of that creation, by the way, which God said was not just good, but very good. You are his masterpiece. You are his prize. You are his utmost work of art. You are the thing that he poured all of himself out on. You are more than Mount Kilimanjaro, more than Mount Everest, deeper to him than the deepest of oceans, higher than all of the stars that he made. Of everything that he did that we stand in awe of, he stands in awe of what he did in you. You're it, people. We're it. And this is that story. When God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, God sent the rain upon the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. And so God formed the man out of the dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in the east in Eden, and he put the man he had formed, and God made trees grow that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. He planted the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Rivers watering the garden headed and separated through four ways through the headwaters. Fishon, Havilah, the second river, Gihon through Cush, Tigris at the east of Ashur, and the Euphrates. And God took the man and put him in the garden, and he worked it and he took care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge." The tree of knowledge, the tree of knowledge, important, of good and evil, good and evil, good and evil. Up until this time, catch it. It is good, 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 it is very good. Jesus says, do not eat of the tree. This is important, of good and evil. And the Lord said, it isn't good. Good, 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 good. Wait, something isn't good. What isn't good? It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper for him. Now the Lord had formed out of the ground all the beasts and fields and all the birds of the air, and he brought them to the man so that he would name them. And whatever the man called him, he gave it a name. So the man gave names to all the livestock and the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. And the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and he was sleeping. He took one of the man's ribs and closed up the flesh. And the Lord made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man. And the man said, "Oh, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." The man and wife were both naked and felt no shame. Listen to me. The man and his wife, the first description of them, the man and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. Moses has a way of saying things when he doesn't have to abound on them. He's a man of few words that say much. He chooses to describe them as naked, comma, and felt no shame. Now you need to see what happens next. I'm going to go back through this, but hear this. There was a serpent who was more crafty, and he said, "Did God really say don't eat from this tree?" And the woman said, "We may eat from any tree, but not from this tree." "You will not surely die," the serpent said. "God knows when you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like him, knowing good and evil." Again, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw the fruit tree was good, pleasing. She ate it. She gave some to her husband, and he ate it. And their eyes were opened. After they eat the fruit, what do we always talk about? We say sin came into the world, right? After they eat the fruit, we say the fall, right? Actually, the Bible says something else happened after they ate the fruit. Look at the first thing that happens after they eat the fruit. Here it is. They realized they were... There's that word again. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So after they ate, the first thing that happened wasn't, we're brilliant, wasn't, we're afraid of God. The first thing that happened was they went from naked and felt no shame to naked and somebody give me a skirt. Find me a leaf. And then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord. And the Lord said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked." There's three times. So I hid. God's answer is not, why are you hiding? God's answer is not, what happened? God's answer is, who told you you were naked? We're going to look at that. Have you eaten from the tree? Have you eaten from the tree that I told you not to eat from? And so begins the conflict between the heart of man and the heart of God. And the greatest understanding we could have is not to hide from it, but to grab hold of this very thing. When everything was right, they were truly naked before the Lord and felt no shame. When I say our journey has always been back to chapter 1, this is the way the Bible was intended to be. It is good. It is very good the way God wanted us to live. In communion with Him, all right? This is the way God wanted us to live. And that's where we're trying to get. And if we're trying to get there, the essence of it is something that none of us want. It is to be completely uncovered. And once we get uncovered, to feel absolutely no shame. Here's the deal. God made all of this amazing stuff, and then He made Adam. And he and Adam were having a great time, and who knows how long this lasted. But God realized something. There was something missing in Adam's life, and I need you to know that. God can provide all of your needs, but He also wants to give something special into our lives. So He created this woman to be this special thing in God's life. And here's what I want you to notice, all right? Whether they knew it or not, they were already, what? Naked. From the moment He saw her and she saw Him, they were naked. They walked around in the cool of the morning and the heat of the day and the cool of the night with God, and they were naked. They were naked the whole time. A day, a year, 100 years, 1,000 years, them and God, naked. That makes you all feel weird. It shouldn't. This is how it was, and we don't look at it that way. They were communing with God without shame, naked in the garden, okay? But here's something, as I was reading this, here's something you need to think about. This guy, I'm reading this book, and he points out to me, God says that He needs a suitable helper. But you know what He does first? He asks him to name the animals. For those of you who've ever been impatient with God, let me speak into your nakedness right now, okay? Let me speak into your lack of understanding about what patience is right now. God was going to make a gift for Adam. I need to make you a companion. Adam's like, okay, cool. But first, I want you to name the animals. Notice that it's not till after the naming of the animals that God gives him a companion. Think about this for a moment. How long did that take? How many of you have had to name a baby? For some of you, that process was just like this. She told you what the name was going to be and you accepted. But how many of you took, you know, a month to come up with a suitable name for the baby? All right? How many of you took you 6 months? How many of you didn't know when it was born? 9 months. That's one baby. If I just walked up to you, if I walked up to Stephen right now and I said, you've got 1 minute, 1 minute to give me 20 words that are completely made up that you've never heard before. Go. Y'all try it in your head right now. Go. 20 words completely made up that you've never heard before. Go. It's not easy, is it? Okay. I don't believe in the theory of evolution as far as creation goes. I absolutely believe in evolution, that things, creatures, animals, we evolve. I absolutely believe that we evolve. You cannot argue that fact, okay? And as we have evolved, more species have come into existence. There are somewhere between 10 million and 500 million species of animals out there, which if you back up evolution, there could have been between 1 and 5 million species of animals at that time. How long does it take to find, identify, and name 1 million creatures? Did anybody ever think? I didn't think about this. That's like saying to your kid, I'm going to give you a present after you go and take a picture of every capital building of every country and capital city in all of the world. What's your child going to do? Yeah. Keep your gift. We don't see any of this from Adam. Adam goes about the work. But you know what happens in that process? You know what happens in the process of seeing a snake or 10,000 snakes? Seeing a cow or 10,000 cows, a rhino or 10,000 rhinos, and you're alone? Try to talk to the cow. Cow just says, meh. Try to talk to the snake. He just sticks his tongue out at you. Try to talk to a bird. You can't keep up. Try to talk to a duck. What is that? You see the whale and you want to swim with the whale and spend time with the whale, but you can't hold your breath that long. You want to run and play with the turtle. That doesn't go well either. Do you know what happened in that time? As Adam longed for something that was like him, his desire for a suitable companion grew. You see that? As he's confronting all of these other things that are not like him, his desire for whatever this was going to be, can you imagine the appreciation that grew in him? And that when he woke up from that slumber and looked at a woman after a year, 100 years, 1,000 years of all the other things that are created, he wakes up and it looks like him, breathes like him, walks like him, talks like him. It's the most beautiful thing he's ever seen. And poetry, if you look, poetry is the first thing that comes out of his mouth. We don't have anything remotely close to romanticism before then. And if you look at the scripture, there's an insert. And it's actually a poem that comes out of Adam's mouth. The bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. He is overwhelmed, enthralled with this woman. Guys, are you listening? This is what God expects of us, to be enthralled, overwhelmed, enamored, desiring, just mystified by our gift, our companions. He is taken with her in ways that I can't even fathom. And they are absolutely 100% naked. And they feel no shame. What does that mean? They walked with God. And it was good. And then the fruit. I was overwhelmed when I read something during the week this week that blew my mind. A guy, right or wrong, literally answered the question, what happened? We skip over this as if it's a story. They ate the fruit, they put on clothes, they're separated from God. Why? Why? It's all in the name. It's all in the name of the tree. The tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. Good and evil. Before the bite, there was both good and evil, because God and Satan existed. We know that because he slithers up. They had to exist. But what was not there? The knowledge. When God tries to keep you from something, he is not being a cosmic killjoy. He is protecting us. He was protecting us from something that has been killing us for the past several thousand years. And that is, when you add evil to good, there is the ability for you to choose. And when there is the ability for you to choose, you have to do something that you weren't created to do. You ready for the word? Judge. When there's no evil that you understand, there's no room for judgment. You can't, because you don't have to choose between right and wrong, better, worse. It's good. And you see it as such. Your body is good, and you see it as such. The way God sees you is good, and you see it as such. Everything about what is going on is good, and you see it as such. But evil enters the world, and you immediately have to choose. Oh, am I fatter, skinnier, shorter, taller, more sinful, less sinful, broken, unbroken? What is the difference? Nothing was different about their bodies before they ate the fruit and after they ate the fruit. Nothing was different about how God saw them before they ate the fruit and after they ate the fruit. They didn't suddenly get naked upon biting. They had always been naked. But they understood what God understands without God's capacity to love. Without God's capacity for grace. They only understood better, worse, good, evil. And we've spent our lives, it is ingrained in us now, to rise above, to argue, to fight, to decide. Who's more right? Who's less right? Where do you think conservative and liberal came from? Where do you think moderate and fundamental came from? It's varying degrees of right and wrong, and who's better at explaining it from man's perspective? God doesn't have any of those. God doesn't have any of those. He looks through a lens that you can't fathom. And loves with a depth that you can't understand. And forgives in amounts that you can't calculate. But he can't look at you if you're hiding. You hear that? He can't collectively do for you what he's always wanted to do for you if you're behind the tree, if you're beneath the clothing. And more than any other group in all of the world, the people sitting in pews across the world in this country have gotten really good at not just clothing their bodies, but at clothing their souls. At clothing their spirits, at covering, listen to me, their scars, at covering their birthmarks, at covering their roles, at covering their wrinkles. They have learned the gift of masking everything that God made them to be and covering all of the choices that their heart knows are wrong. But their nature can't help but carry out. We are masters of veiling everything. And do you know what we've done? As we've hidden all of these things from God, we've snipped his ability to change us. Wait, what? God's still able. Oh, he's absolutely able. But you know what he's saying? Same thing he said to Adam and Eve. Here I am. I'm able. Where are you? Did you catch it? I'm still here. I'm still walking in the garden just like yesterday. I'm still walking in the garden just like last year. I'm still here looking at you through the same eyes, seeing you the same way I saw you yesterday. I have not changed. You're different. Why? You're covering it up. You're covering up your sin. You're covering up your shame. You're covering up your loneliness. You're covering up your drug addiction. You're covering up your gambling habit. You're covering up your infidelity. You're covering it up. And the bottom line is, I can. I have the ability to forgive you. But until you unveil it to me, I can't fix it in you. So we run around seeking religion and living unfixed. Church, if we're going to get healthy and if we're going to get right, you're going to have to do the scariest thing ever. Rip off the fig leaves. And understand that God doesn't see you any differently. And I want you to be very, very careful. Because the hardest part of this series is twofold. The hardest part for me and the hardest part for you is going to be taking the first step. Because we don't know what's going to happen. We've never seen it. Second hardest part is going to be taking that knowledge of good and evil and oppressing it. Because we will be the first to judge the people who rip their clothes off. And you can bet that right here and right now, I will be all up in your business. Pun intended. I will be all up in your business telling you that's wrong. Judge not, lest ye be judged. You don't have, nor were you ever given the ability to judge. It is mine to avenge, says the Lord. I will repay. So the second hardest part of this whole thing is going to be how we react and how we respond to something we're not used to. Everybody getting naked. Spiritually, emotionally, physically. Addicts, all out. Idolaters, all out. Thieves, all out. Pastors, all out. Because here's what happens. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Without confession, there is no repentance. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness. So we're walking around hidden from God, covered from God. And I didn't lose you all. But about 5 minutes ago, 80% of you all went blank. Do you know why? Because you were playing your list. You were. You were playing your list in your head. You were deciding what you were going to tell and what you weren't. You were deciding that there was no way you were undressing in front of anyone. And I'm not talking about your clothes now. I'm talking about your masks, and you know that. I make you this promise. This ain't gonna be comfortable. I make you this promise. It was after the fall that man was separated from God. And it was after the separation from God, and after they clothed themselves, and after they murdered one another, and after they ran from God, and after all of the evil that man committed, that God continued His efforts to chase us. It was after He knew everything about you and He loved you just the same that He sent His only Son to bring you home. Will not be comfortable. will not be without tears or fears, but it will be holy. It will be healthy. It will be freeing, if you're willing. Our community needs this. The church, not the church here, the church needs this. You need this. Time for us to get back to one. Walk with God the way God intended us to be. In men's ministry yesterday morning, Bobby shared an awesome devo with us. And he said something, and I asked a question. How come it is that if I stood up here right now and I yelled out, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we are all sinners in this place," that all of you would be like, "Amen, absolutely, I'm a sinner. Stand up and name your sin." How come we got 100 people who will call themselves a sinner and nobody that will confess a sin? Are you not a sinner? Or are you just bundled up under about 18 layers of not me? And you sit here in the pews expecting God to dig through it? Unveiled. Naked. Let me put it for you, good Baptist. Just as I am. Maybe you'll be here, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll join in, maybe you won't. But you will know the truth. And the truth will set you. Let's pray. We need to pray about this. My phone's going to be on. My office door's going to be open. I need prayer because this is going to take some sacrifice. This is going to take some integrity. This is going to take some honesty. This is going to take some out of me because I will not ask you to go places that I'm not willing to go. And I got to be honest with you, pastors aren't allowed to go in these places because church members don't want them to be broken. Church members don't need them to be sinners. And I've told you once, and I'm going to tell you again now. If you joined this church because you thought your pastor was somebody who was way down the road and way ahead of you and didn't sin and was up on this pedestal, you need to go get your covenant, you need to rip it up, and you need to run. You need to run, because I ain't him. But if you want God's man with God's call to this place at this time for right now, broken, bruised, hurting, and running this race with you, with the Holy Spirit moving through him, I'm your guy. I'm your guy. Surrendered, willing to lay it out there. For you, for him, for me, for my wife, for my children. Because I believe that God is good. And I believe that he made me to be good. And I believe when he looks at me, he sees good. And I want you to see yourself how God sees you. I want you to see me how God sees me. I want you to see one another how God sees them. Be enamored with your spouse. Be overwhelmed by your church mates. Be blessed by your community. Scars and all. Unveiled before a good, good Father. who loves us with all his heart. So during this time,